This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, well, this is a special. I'm celebrating two birthdays today. First, well, she's been on the program many times now, and we're going to be talking to her in a minute. And then at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking about the birthday of Anaïs Nin, the author who has just taken on the story of her life. And it's Kim Crutzen, who is also an Academy Award nominated author. But first, I just have to say happy birthday to Eugenia Lovett West. I am so happy to have you back on the program, Eugenia.
Oh, it's such a pleasure and joy to be back. Oh. And thank you for the happy birthday. And happy birthday to Joy on Paper. That is huge. Awesome.
Yes. Well, that's coming up on St. Patrick's Day and in March. And it's so exciting that 5 years, and in these 5 years, I've interviewed 9 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters, the Poet Laureate of the United States, over 200 New York Times bestselling authors, and so many wonderful, wonderful indie authors and publicists and publishers and literary agents. But I think that you are certainly one of my favorites and right there at the top, because you are such an inspiration. And you have, just from my listeners, I have heard them, you know, they've come back to me after, and they said, wow, she's so good. Will you have her back on? As a matter of fact, that's the first program I had you on. I started getting, even before I got home from the studio, I already had emails waiting for me saying, wow, I don't believe, they didn't believe how old you were. And then they said, and she's writing such great books. And then over the period of time, people would be reading the books, and they'd come back to me, and they'd say, she's amazing. So,
that is most heartwarming thing you can hear on your birthday. 97, believe it or not.
That's what I was going to say. 97 years. It's so amazing, and this is why it's so beautiful that you are so vibrant, you are so delightful, and that you just have this wonderful joy that you found on paper, and joy just in life. And your most recent book, Firewall, which is so accurate. I mean, it's you know, it's about cybercrime. And people would say, if you know, you just ask people sometimes would say, oh, well, nobody can, you know, that age could write anything about cybercrime. And you write a book so exciting about cybercrime that, I mean, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with attitude, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I read recently an article that said, "It's age is just a number, and what you should do is only think attitude and pick a number that you would like to think of yourself as." And so I thought, well, you know, go back, you know, maybe 69, and maybe a lot of your listeners could think, you know, maybe 20, but that's sort of a fun thing to think. Don't think about what your actual age. Just think what you would like to be. And it's an interesting concept.
And go for it. And, of course, I'm sure that one of the times in your life that you would pick up on the year that you married a wonderful man, a pilot. I always think of that because, as I said, my husband also was a pilot. And so I know they are special guys, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, they go into the atmosphere, a different sort of world, I think. And when you think of all the things that they have to do to get a plane up into the air, and a fighter pilot, of course, he was doing missions over Germany. It is special. You're so right, Patsy. It's very special.
They're special guys. I remember the first time my husband, long after he was out of the military, and he got a small plane. We were living in England, and he was flying out of one of the World War II airfields there, one of the grass airfields, White Waltham. And the first time he took me up, I was scared because I had never been in a small plane before. And next thing I know, we're going across the grass, and it's something your husband would have just loved, because White Waltham is right there just outside of London. And, he might have landed in that field, because it's just a wonderful place. And we're going, and we take off. And we're in the air, and it's so beautiful. And I just could see on my husband's face that look, mm-hmm. that pilot look. He's up there, and he's in control and having so much fun. And it's just that mm-hmm. joy of flying and being able to do it. And so they're a special breed, I think. They're dashing, and I've always found them to be charming. So I'm sure that that's one of the years that you would love to go back to.
I do. I mean, he was charming, and he was dashing, and he was very competent. So that's so interesting that we both share that knowledge.
Yes, and today, of course, I want you to be able to say what you want. If you have somebody that you want to thank, or anyone in your family you want to mention, it's your day. Today's your day. We want to talk, let you talk about what you want to talk about.
Well, I think I have to express gratitude, really thankfulness for so many good things in my life. And I think I have to feel very lucky that I was born in this country. I look at the news and I see these women, struggling in a truck leaving Syria, and I think, oh my God, how lucky can you get? And so I feel great gratitude for that. I feel great gratitude that I still have the will to want to write. I'm working on a sort of a sequel to a book that came out, a historical novel set in the American Revolution, 1777-8. It's called Sarah's War, and this is a different woman, but she is living in Philadelphia in 1778 and gets into, huge amounts of trouble. So doing the research for that era is fascinating. Going back to the founding of this country, we have problems today, but at least people aren't getting hung in a public square because of their beliefs. And so I'm very grateful for the feeling that you want to wake up in the morning and create something. I guess that's it. Create a little bit of creativity, even if it isn't world shaking.
Sarah's War, which is a wonderful historical novel. The beautiful thing about Sarah's War, and it comes through the amount of research that you did into the American Revolution. As you say, it was set in 1777, which was a pivotal year in the United States, and a pivotal year for the forming of our country. And your research is so good, and your writing is so good, and it's nice for you to be able to reflect and realize that your book will be read 50 years from now, 100 years from now. It's a kind of book that when 50 years from now somebody's doing research about the American War, and they're going to be looking for, the Revolutionary War, they'll be looking for a book that they want to read. And I believe that because your writing is so strong, the story is so good, and Sarah Champion, your main character, is somebody that we really care about, your book is the kind that will be read 50 years from now and 100 years from now and 200 years from now.
Well, that's a lovely thought. That's a lovely thought. I really want to make the reader feel that they are living, sort of try to take them back into that time. And that's what I'm trying to do with my new heroine, Louisa. And I have to do a lot of research about what people wore, what they ate, how meals were served, to make it accurate, because in the old days, lots of times, even though you had money and you had servants or slaves, platters would just be put down on the table. So to find out whether in 1778 a meal would be served, you know, person by person around the table, or whether the platters would be plunked on the table, I mean, that's the kind of research that is takes a little time. But I'm trying so hard to make the reader, take the reader right back into that those days. That's what I'm trying so hard to
do. Well, you do. And, of course, part of it, you know, when you're writing today in 2020, we still have many of the places, the areas that are in your book. And so you bring them to life. And as I said, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, who knows? Everything might be a parking lot. but it's there in your book, and it will live on long, long after you.
And Patsy, that's, well,
it's wonderful
that's so
to know that.
That's a wonderful thought.
Well, I do a lot of research. It's like, people are still reading Jane Austen or Thackeray or, you know, or Bronte, because the reason they read these books is that the authors were able to describe so beautifully and set us in the place. And with your book, you are also doing the same thing. You set us in this place and we become involved with the characters. And those are the books that live on. So often, you know, if it's just an ordinary sort of run-of-the-mill book, nobody might not read it, you know, 100 years from now. But in your case, combined with the great writing, but also with the great research, which is available to you today, and that your knowledge, I mean, you know, you've lived 97 years. I must say that's a long time, and it's wonderful. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's fantastic. And that you're so vibrant, and you're so just so delightful. You've done something really great here for yourself, for your family, and for history.
Oh, well, Patsy, I'll have to throw it right back at you. I think you're doing something wonderful, too. I really do. And to be able to talk to you and sort of feel that you're expressing your feelings and other people are listening, it's a huge talent that you have.
Well, you know, let's step back, because people will say, oh, was she? As I said, every time you've been on, people say to me, "Well, maybe that's phony. She's just saying that to sell books, and she's not really that old." Tell us, what were you like as a little girl?
Oh, I was a reader. I was a bookworm. Always had my nose in a book. I didn't expect to be writing, but. I guess I loved escape. I loved to escape. I had a very happy childhood, so I didn't have very much to escape from. But I think that's the great advantage, the thing that we gain from being readers is that we're able to escape and go into a different world. And I think as a child, I loved doing that.
Well, you know, I'm from northern Michigan, farm country, little town. You know, And yet, because I became obsessed with Jane Austen from reading, I landed up moving to England and buying a 400-year-old cottage. That's what books
really?
Can do. That's what books, yes. So that's what books can do for you. They send you on a journey. And then if
they
you're
do.
Ready to grasp it, you can grasp it. But so where were you born? Where did you? Where was your young years, your up to the, like the age of 7 or 8? Where were you
born? I was born in Boston. My father was a Congregational minister. We had a church there. And then when I was 9, he was appointed to be chaplain at Yale University in New Haven.
Oh.
So we moved to New Haven. And I was there until I went away to school, and then pretty quick I only went to Sarah Lawrence for 2 years, but then I worked at Harper's Bazaar for a little while, and then I got married. I guess I was 20, and so was my husband. He was 20, and so and we were married for 60 years and had 4 wonderful children and 4 wonderful grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. So family is very important to me. And I had a life besides writing, which is good and bad, because I think I look at these writers who have turned out huge amounts of books, and I think, oh well.
No, it's a life. The life with a wonderful pilot husband and 4 children.
Yeah, right.
That,
I mean,
that's wonderful. That's
an exciting life.
That's the best.
He worked hard. He did well. And then we traveled to all these places when he was a CEO. So that's.
And
where I got a lot of
and that's
my
that's why you're
traveling and.
That's why your Emma Street books are so good.
Five-star hotels and all of that, which was hugely good fun.
That's right. And you use it in your Emma Street series. So, you know, everything works out beautifully.
It does.
And I'm so glad you mentioned New Haven. I love New Haven. My son is in Madison right now at the university there. He's just finishing up his PhD. But he's going to be moving over to New Haven. I love the place. When I went up with him, we went over. I stayed up there. He took me all over the place to show me, you know, where everything is. And I love it. And Yale is such a fantastic school. And all the buildings, the old buildings. One of the things that I loved, he took me to the library where they had. Long, long wall of card catalogs, you know, those lovely drawers. And when I was a child, I loved those drawers. I loved going through and looking at all the books and all the names of the authors. Mm. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, the libraries, you know, with all their drawers and the whatnot.
Oh, those were wonderful, and I feel sort of sad for the younger generation. They don't know that joy of opening that drawer and just thumbing through. You go through the names of all.
Yeah.
Wasn't it fun?
Oh, maybe I should read that, or maybe this one.
It was so much fun, and now it's just, you know, a wall. I think they you know, just locked up all the things so you can't open the drawers. There's nothing in them anymore. But I do actually haunt sales, antique stores, and I'm looking for one of these, at least one drawer full of you know, these cards, and I would be so happy.
Oh, I know. Libraries are fabulous. I did a lot of the first research for Sarah's War. I did at the Yale Library. So that when you say the Yale Library, I think, oh, the Yale Library.
Yeah.
What a wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful? I just, my son brought me there. He didn't expect me to, like, just plonk down and say, I'm not leaving. I'm spending my day here. He said, Mommy, there's so many places I want to take you. We're going to go to Peach. I said, oh, please, I am in the Yale Library. I am like in, you know, the only place better was for me was the reading room at the British Museum, where I used to spend hours and hours. It was I love that place so much. It was just...
Oh, that's a great place. So, great place.
So you, of course, you had been there. So, you know, and it's so sad now because, you know, they turned it into a, I don't know, they put glass over it and you can't go in the room. And I was so sad when I brought him, my son, there. And I said, I want to show you my where I sat for years. And you can't get in. You can't get in anymore. So...
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did it. It was sad. It actually broke my heart. I cried when I walked there. I was ready to just walk in and go straight to my chair. And then a plunk right there. It's a big, I mean, they just glassed in the whole one wall.
Oh.
And you can't walk into the room. I was so upset. It was sad. But we've had that joy of knowing great libraries and just loving books. And I hope, you know, one of the things I think that you have done with my own listeners, I just had an author on a few weeks ago, and he said one of the things that inspired him, he opened a drawer after one of our conversations, and there was a book that had been there for 20 years, and he just started working on it. And it
really?
Yeah. And this is what's happening when people are inspired. People say, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, and that's the wonderful attitude. And to keep those brain cells working, isn't that the best thing? Reading, writing, and just being, enjoying life can do so much for you.
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, I just would encourage younger readers and writers to just start. Find your voice. It may take a little time, but it's so worthwhile. It's something that stays with you over the years, this feeling that you can create any kind of well, and I think we can talk about music or painting or writing, but it's a great joy that to have something creative that you can come back to and wake up in the morning and want to do aside from life with a quotation life in general.
Well, it makes you a more interesting person. It doesn't matter if, as you said, if you're writing, in your case, you're doing research, an artist, you know, has subjects to talk about. Whatever you do, it gives you, it just widens your thought process. And
Absolutely. And I think it keeps you younger. As those years, sort of those little numbers get higher and higher, it levels you down to something that isn't just age
related. Yeah, exactly.
Aging.
Yeah. You know, so you're working on the new book, and do you have a title for it?
I haven't really. The protagonist is going to be another young woman, Louisa, and it's going to be the next year in Philadelphia, which was wasn't quite as dramatic as 77 with Valley Forge bleeding feet in the snow and the British officers living it up in Philadelphia, but it was a very dangerous time, very dangerous time. We had Benedict Arnold coming into Philadelphia as a wounded hero in the Battle of Saratoga and sort of gradually being seduced into becoming a traitor, one of the epic traitors in our history, Benedict Arnold, and his romance with Peggy Shipp. And so there's quite a lot of drama going on, and the politics and the different 13 states each, you know, there was no framework. There was no law system. It's hard to believe how these founding fathers put it all together and became a democracy and how valuable it is. I mean, that strikes me every day, how valuable these people sacrifice oftentimes their lives to create for us. I'm on my soapbox now.
No, that's great. Well, you're going to have an exciting spring and summer writing the book. And when do you expect it to come out?
I have absolutely, you know, I really don't know. I'm just working on it.
Okay.
That's the best.
Well,
yep,
you have fun working this spring and summer. I hope by the fall we'll have a new book out and you'll join me again. And meanwhile, I want again to say happy birthday to you. It's just so wonderful. And tell everybody your webpage.
Oh, it's Eugenia, I think it's EugeniaLoveItWest.com.
Yes. And it's a great webpage. Very nice. She has all about her books and some little sections to read. And it is Eugenia Lovett West. And it's her 97th birthday. And I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Oh, Patsy, thank you so much. You're a treasure. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. Bye-bye
here.
Now. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay, isn't that marvelous? Isn't it fantastic? You know, I'm not going to go to commercial. Do we have already? I'm going to what I want to do, because this is a special day. I want to thank Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who is my intellectual property lawyer. He should be your intellectual property lawyer. Everybody should be out there protecting their intellectual property because it's valuable. And you never know. You might write a book today and 20 years from now, it becomes a hit. You don't know, but you have to protect things well in advance. And also, I want to, again, thank Glenn Erickson so much for just all of his support, not just for me, for Joy on Paper. And as I said to Eugenia, we're coming up on the 5th anniversary of Joy on Paper. But I want to thank him for all the support that he gives to authors and his encouragement, because he found the joy of writing. And I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. And we're going to do a special promo next week for his book, Android Love. And so I'm really excited about that. But as I said, it is a birthday celebration day. And so now I am turning to oh boy, I was going to turn to her, but she's, oh boy. Okay, we're going to have fun here. We might as well take a break then and we'll try her again. Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, Kim Crittson. Whoa, this is exciting for me. She is, what can I say? You know, everybody knows that I was a screenwriter, but I am so thrilled to welcome Kim to the program because she's an Academy Award nominee for Best Adapted Screenplay. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. Well, it's, you know, my films went into turnaround. They're still spinning out there somewhere in Hollywood. And one day, you know, they were optioned and re-optioned.
Oh, that is the story of Hollywood. It is extremely hard to get a movie produced. You know that. It's so hard. And I feel your pain. I know how it is.
But my first guest today was Eugenia Lovett West, and we were celebrating today her birthday, 97 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she just, isn't it amazing? And she just came out with a book, a wonderful novel called Firewall, that's about cybercrime.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 97 years old.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
That's so great.
It gives us all hope. I mean, this is wonderful. She is so bright and so alert and so dynamic. And I mean, and she remembers her wedding day in 1944. You know.
Oh my God.
But she can write about cybercrime. I mean,
maybe 97 is the new 37.
I think so. It certainly sounds like it. So today, of course, we're celebrating another special, very special birthday. And we're going to talk about that because it's, of course, Anine's birthday. And you wrote this wonderful, wonderful book called A Spy in the House of Anais Nin. But before we talk about that, I just want to go back because I'm thinking about that Academy Award nomination. What was it like? I mean, how did you find out? And I just share with my listeners because it's something we all dream about.
You know, I had no idea on the face of the earth that I would be in any way in contention for an Academy Award. So I didn't even really think about it. But the morning that the announcements are made as to who the nominees are, very strangely, I woke up and it was still dark. You know, the announcements are made extremely early on the West Coast. And I woke up, and I guess I had been dreaming about it. Somehow, I guess I knew that maybe the announcements would be made, and I did not believe I would be one of the contestants at all. I woke up and went and turned on the television, and they said my name, Kim Crittson. And I remember I physical shock just ran through my body. And my husband and I just were suddenly, we were very, very awake and the phone was ringing. And it was an amazing thing. But basically then what was set in motion were several weeks of trying to prepare for this event. And it was quite a whirlwind, you know, trying to get yourself properly dressed for the thing and get your husband in a tux and all that. And then when we finally got to the event, I have to say it was lovely. Alan Alda stood on my dress accidentally and his wife whacked him, which was really cute. And there was Mickey Rooney. I realized that was, my God, I'm 1 degree of separation away from Ava Gardner. Oh. I was married to Ava Gardner. And so it was lovely. And people, to be honest with you, people look different in real life than they do on the screen. Sometimes people are a lot more petite than you're expecting. And then you look down the aisle. I was sitting just a few seats down from Oprah Winfrey, and she was just beautiful, just this glowing, gorgeous woman. And, it was really, of course, I was really into the dresses. You know I was. But it was a lovely evening, and I did not win, but I, honest to God, it was just, it was truly, truly, and I'm not just saying this, it was truly an honor to be there.
Oh.
I you know, I'll never forget it.
Well, that was, what year was it? It was 20, what year was it?
It was 2005.
2005.
It was 2005.
2005.
Yeah.
You know, and there were still so many actors. There's so much glamour, and I get a thrill just thinking about it. And I'm, you know, I have to tell my listeners, you know, you're also an actress and a beautiful actress.
Thank you.
And the idea of what was your dress like? What did you decide to wear?
Well, you know what? I went all over the place looking for a dress. I was not exactly rich. You know, I didn't have a lot of money. And so I was going all over the place trying to find the right dress. And finally, I drove by, I just happened to drive by a wedding dress store in Los Angeles. And I saw a dress in the window. And it was very Ava Gardner, to be honest with you. It was a strapless dress, and I asked them if they could make it in a color, and they could, and boy did they do a fabulous job. So it's a red satin strapless dress.
Lots
of fun.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for you. I'm thrilled. I know the
Thank
dress
you.
You know, if any of my films ever get out of turnaround, I know the dress that I want to wear, so we can, you know.
Oh, you know, absolutely. You visualize it, right?
That's right. You have to keep dreaming. You have to keep trying, right?
You absolutely have to keep dreaming and trying. You know, like your previous guest, 97, and writing very complicated novels, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, never give up.
Never give up. That's it. And let's now talk about your wonderful book and about the entire, how you got involved in this. And, you know, for this story to be told, because Ananis was important to the entire 20th century women's writing breakout, really.
She really was. She really was. So Anna Eastman was a diarist. She was born in 1903. Her birthday is February 21st, so she will be 117 years old tomorrow. But she was a little Spanish girl who was Catholic and very conservative family. And the diary sprung really from a tremendous wound that she experienced. Her father abandoned the family when she was a child, and she was devastated by this. And her mother, she started writing a letter to her father, essentially to beg him to come back to the family. Her mother said, "Let's, you know, this is such a beautiful letter. Let's not send it; it will get lost." And that letter became the very first entry in what became a diary that she kept her entire life. She started it in 1914 when she was 11 years old, kept it her entire life until she died in 1977. And it essentially, it has become one, in my view, what is going to be one of the more important artistic documents of the 20th century, because it's the chronicle of a woman's consciousness. It's a diary of a woman's, you know, grand experiment in trying to find herself. And I really believe that Anaïs's writing has now found its time, because we now, in our 21st century, with the internet and social media and all, we understand what it is to connect with people on a more, you know, virtually. We connect with them virtually without, you know, having that face-to-face contact. She was connecting with herself and with us virtually through this diary, and I think she was a great visionary. So I discovered her and ended up writing this book about her journey, and it was such a enriching experience for me to write this book.
And getting involved in the entire project to tell us about your deeper involvement into this this subject? Going to the house.
How did it all start?
Yeah, how did it all start?
Yeah. Well, when I was about 20 years old, I was a college student, and I was in a tiny little bookstore in Los Angeles. I had no money at the time, but I found this child's diary that had been written years, you know, decades and decades before. And I was thumbing through the diary, and the girl's writing was amazing. I was just fascinated by what a great writer she was, and she was describing this journey from Europe to America on a boat in 1914, and I just got kind of entranced by it. So I spent all my money for the week. You know, I only had so much lunch money back in those days, and I spent all my money buying this book, and then I, you know, her writing was so incredible that when I finished that diary, of course, I ran out to see, well, are there any more? I didn't know anything about this woman. I had never heard of her. You know, Anna East Nin is such a strange and exotic name, and I'd never heard of her. And so I ran out to see if there were any more diaries. Well, yes, you know, there was another, and then another, and then another. And I went on this mad journey. I ended up writing my master's thesis on the psychology of Anna East Nin's creativity. But eventually I became a member of the Anna East Nin Foundation, because I was at that point considered to be a Nin scholar, and I was able to help them in their home doing archival work, going through her papers, getting things organized. And in the course of doing all that research, I had a lot of insight into her journey, or, you know, or struggle to find herself, and a lot of the unanswered questions about her life. And so I wrote this book, Anna East Nin, which is called Spy in the House of Anna East Nin. And it was an incredibly enriching experience. I really did feel like a spy, because I was in her home. She's, you know, been dead for quite a while, but I was in her home going through her private papers and, you know, looking at her possessions and discovering a lot of her secrets, which I wrote about in the book.
And touching things that she touched. And it's so exciting for an author to be able to get that close to a subject that they're writing about.
Absolutely. It really does feel, I mean, I think people who are fans of artists, they kind of get like that romantic feeling when they go to places that those artists lived or did certain things. And so to be in her home was an incredible honor for me. And I was there many, many days going through her things, which many of which were really dusty and buried and had not been read for many decades. And you know, I saw her souvenirs and her hats and some of her clothes, and I, you know, her refrigerator, which... You know, of course, being Anna East Nin, she didn't even have a normal refrigerator. She was such a romantic soul. She didn't like ugly appliances. So when her home was being designed, she asked if it was possible to have her refrigerator tiled and you know, painted. And so the refrigerator blends in with everything else in the kitchen. And you know, she was a very creative person. She really thought outside of the box. So it's very interesting to have gone through her things and her papers.
And you discovered some real insights into her work and also into the people who surrounded her. And one, of course, is a famous unpublished love letter that you found from Gore Vidal.
You know, it was really something to uncover the truth about her relationship with Gore Vidal, because when she met Gore Vidal in the 1940s, they became great, great friends. But later, after she died, he really trashed her publicly. And I read his memoir. It's called Palimpsest. And I read his memoir, and there's an entire chapter dedicated to trashing her. And so I always wanted to know the backstory on why that happened. And I found letters. And I found a letter that basically exposed the real truth there. And I wrote about that in my book, I believe that there was a rejection that happened, and it wasn't as he wrote in his book. It was, in fact, quite the opposite of what he wrote about in his book, and I think he was covering up a great feeling of shame and rejection. You know, he was an incredibly talented wit and writer, but he was very cruel to her in his writing about her. And so I felt like I was exonerating her.
You did. Because I remember, you know, I've read every Gore Vidal book, and when I read that chapter in his book about her, I was, even then, I thought, you know, I didn't like it. And so when you wrote, you know, when I get your book and I see what you've done, I think, yeah, well, you know, it's, you sat there, you've been inspired by the house, by her, by just being in that whole milieu of where she was, and come out with a really wonderful, wonderful book. We don't have much time. Tell people, of course, the book is available on Amazon, but where else, how do they find you? Do you have a web page? How do you want people to find you?
Great. So the book is Spy in the House of Anna East Nin. Unusual spelling to the name, A-N-A-I-S. Last name is Nin, N-I-N. And it's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's on Audible. And people can find me. I'm most active these days on Instagram, and it's just my name, Kim Krizan, K-I-M-K-R-I-Z-A-N. And I also have a Facebook page. So I'd love to hear from people. And I often put up pictures of Anna East Nin. I think it was just yesterday, I put up a picture of the interior of her house. Oh. So you can see where I work, actually.
Oh, this is so exciting. And I am so happy that you were able to join me today here on Joy on Paper so we can celebrate her birthday and her writing and your writing, because you are really a fantastic author.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. I love your enthusiasm about writing and creativity and
well, I hope that you're working on, I really see this as a film, a film not just of her, but of you sitting in the house, you, discovering all this. So I hope you're working on a script. It's going to be you in the house and all the things that you see around you and bringing these people to life. I could write the script, but I think you better write it because you'll get another Academy Award nomination and this time you'll win. And, you know, no, it's true. Don't you see it as a film?
Well, I love that idea. That's a fantastic idea. There's a lot of romance to that, so I love it.
Okay. I mean, I thought you were already working on it. Well, I gave you the idea. Okay, now get to work on this because it's a story of you, and it's a story of her, and of all the people. Sitting there, all the things that you must have imagined, all the storylines that you followed in your head, you're going to bring them to life, and you have the location shot already. I mean, you are set here. And
yeah.
Now, one thing, now that I've given you this idea, you have to promise that when you get nominated for the Academy Award this time, you're going to invite me. So,
you're there.
Okay. If we're going to go out there and you sell a script, you got it. I mean, you can do your pitch in no time, and you know they desperate. All these streaming things, they really need some good project to work on, and this book. It's sort of the doubles. You know, you're a spy. And it's really, yeah, really, this is exciting. And all the, you know, oh my, I'm already, my mind is like bouncing around all of the different stories that you can tell. Oh my goodness.
All the possibilities.
All the possibilities. So, you know, get to work on it and come back here and when you're ready to announce that you've got a deal, because then I will start, you know, I'll wear my dress to watch you get an Academy Award. How about that?
That would be excellent. I would love it.
Okay. Well, Kim,
it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Kim Crittson, I think you are an absolutely fantastic person, so fascinating, and I know now that you got this idea in your head, you're going to start writing, okay? That's what we do. We have to write, and we have to love it, and find that joy on paper, which you have.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure talking to you. Happy birthday, Anna Eastman.
That's right. Absolutely. Thanks again for joining me today. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Woo. That is nice. She is so nice. I like her so much. She's so beautiful. You can just go to her Instagram page or whatever page and see her. She's an actress. She's beautiful. A talented author. Just amazing. Doing this wonderful, wonderful project to keep Anna Eastman's story alive. And we're going to see, I'm sure we'll see this as a streaming video one day. And she's just a delightful person. I want to thank Kim Dower for sending Kim Crittson to me, because I think we're all simpatico. And it's just a wonderful story. So, this has been a wonderful, a day of two birthdays. Do get check out Eugenia Lovett West. Her books, and it's so funny, 97 years old. Her recent book, Firewall, which is about cybercrime. And it's exactly the kind of thing that could happen to you. One day, somebody steals your identity. And the next thing, you've got problems. Well, in Eugenia's book, she writes a wonderful, exciting story. And you learn so much about cybercrime, and it's wonderful. And then, of course, and at the same time, last year she wrote Sarah's War, which is a historical book set in 1777. She is an inspiration to all of us, that you can do whatever you want to do. All you have to do is just get out there and start doing it. And remember what I tell you, a page a day. That's all you need to do. Start writing, because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or to someday hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, which is what I predict for this book that we just talked about, A Spy in the House of Anna Eastman, written by Kim Crittson. She is definitely going to write a script about this exciting story of how she just went in there and spied on and got all this wonderful, wonderful information. And she's going to write this, I'm sure of it. I can see it already in my head. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything you do for me. My goodness, can you believe that it's coming up to 5 years? Has it gone fast? It's gone fast, hasn't it? What do you think, Ed? Has it gone fast? Wow, it's amazing. Thank you for everything, Ed. Okay, bye-bye now.